Again, thanks for coming. I'm Bill Weeks, and I'm from the White River Junction, Vermont REAP, and I've got a couple of my co-authors here in the room, Rich Lee and Amy Wallace, behind you. And what we'll talk about today is whether VA might be able to improve older veterans' outcomes by directing private sector care, not VA care, but private sector care, to high-performance private sector hospitals. So the VA, I imagine some of you know quite a bit about the VA, but just for those of you who don't, VA is a national system. It's an integrated healthcare system with outpatient and inpatient care. It's got a whole bunch of different access points, 162 hospitals and nearly 1,000 clinics. It is huge, $33 billion. How big is Apple Computer in revenues? Any guesses? $8 billion a year. We're four times as big as as Apple Computer. We're about the size of Intel. We are a giant, giant organization that serves about 6 million veterans every year. And we went through this massive transformation in the late 1990s where we wanted to focus on quality improvement, used a performance metric system which really enhanced our performance, and we were able to improve dramatically in performance and also reduce costs, all within the VA. But veterans in the system, as we've already heard, are older and sicker and poorer than the general population, but they have a choice. They can use the VA system, and they can also use the private sector system. 95% of VA enrollees who are over 65 are concurrently enrolled in Medicare, and surveys and actual studies that we've done have suggested that younger veterans are also pretty reliant on care outside the VA. So that kind of sets us up. One thing we know about care that is provided outside of the VA is that there are clear differences in performance. And you can see this is work from John Berkmeyer. You can see, for instance, that volumes in this case are predictive of future mortality rates. And so veterans might choose to use the private sector, but we would be interested in their choosing to use high-quality private sector hospitals for particular disorders. That might actually enhance our ability to improve our veterans' outcomes over time. And so we looked at a number of 14 procedures where either a volume outcomes relationship existed or a historic mortality and outcomes relationship existed, and looked exactly at those particular procedures. What we wanted to do then for these 14 identified procedures was to quantify older VA enrollees' non-VA utilization for them to see if it would be kind of worth doing. And second, to assess the potential impact if we were successful in getting the veterans to use higher performance hospitals, what kind of a mortality impact might that have? So those were kind of the two questions that we were interested in. We looked at data from the VA and Medicare for 2000 to 2001 and used ICD-9 codes to figure out where the older veterans got care for 6 cardiovascular surgeries and 8 cancer resections, so a total of 14 different procedures. We figured out whether the non-VA hospitals they obtained this care in were high-quality or low-quality hospitals, and then we modeled the effect of moving them to the high-quality hospitals, not only looking at their mortality, but also, importantly, their travel distance. People may, if you can save a point in mortality, might be worth it if it's relatively close, but not if you have to travel 6 or 8 hours, right? I'd probably travel 6 or 8 hours. So this is where we looked in. This is where older veterans actually get their care. We have several columns. We have their care provided in the private sector here, in the VA here, and then we calculated their reliance on the VA care. 6 cardiovascular procedures, 8 cancer resections here, and a couple things we can note is that most of the care that's obtained in the private sector is cardiovascular care. We've got about 101,000 procedures done over a 2-year period of cardiovascular care versus about 18,000 over a 2-year period of cancer resections. Veterans are highly reliant on the private sector for most of their care. Only 13% of their cardiovascular procedures were obtained within the VA. That means 87% were obtained outside of the VA in the private sector. 21% of their cancer resections were obtained within the VA, so they're a little more reliant on the VA for cancer resection surgery, but still 80%, 4 out of 5 are obtained outside of the VA. One thing we found is across all of these procedures analyzed, the distribution was just what you would expect. About one-fifth went into each of 5 different quintiles. There wasn't a big dramatic use of veterans didn't preferentially use poor quality hospitals, nor did they preferentially use high quality hospitals. These are the 2 high quality hospitals, and so the question that we really had is, what if we could shift these guys in the lower 3 quintiles, the lowest 60% performing hospitals, into the best performing hospitals? And this is the effect of directing care. We did directing care based on 2 ways. We looked at performance based on historical volumes on the top and then at historical mortality rates on the bottom. And what we basically, through a calculation, could figure out is that we could save 376 lives if we managed the system looking at historical volumes, 584 lives over the 2-year period if we manage the system looking at historical mortality. Most of the benefits would occur in cardiovascular procedures. So if VA had to decide to do this with cardiovascular procedures or cancer, you'd go with cardiovascular procedures. That's your biggest bang for your buck. The additional travel burden was highest for when we based evaluation on historical volumes, and pretty marginal, only 15 at most 20 extra minutes drive to achieve a mortality benefit if we base this on historical mortality rates. So the thing to do then obviously would be use the historical mortality rates. You get the biggest benefit in life saves, minimum travel burden, and you focus indeed on the cardiovascular procedures to get the best bang for your buck if you want it. Some people might say, well, why don't we instead, I'm talking only about non-VA care here, right? So why don't we just have people come to the VA? Might that work? And it might not, actually. The challenge is that each of the highest 2 quality quintiles had these minimum annual volumes located here. If we looked at, well, would those services be available in the VA at that minimal volume standard? And the answer is generally no. VA would have at most 11 access points for esophagectomy that met the minimum standard that places like Leapfrog or other people that direct health care to the highest quality hospitals might use. If we used mortality rates instead, which is we already said was the best way to perhaps to do it, VA never beats the mortality, the crude mortality rates, and indeed has substantially higher mortality rates for some of the cancer resections. So that the concept of simply taking the care into the VA is probably not one that would save lives. So in conclusion then, we found that directing this older veterans non-VA care to high performance private sector hospitals can save lives. Focusing on cardiac procedures and using historical mortality results to choose high-quality hospitals would be the best outcomes, produce the best outcomes and minimize the travel burden. And it was unlikely that we're going to get this level of performance if we directed the care to the VA. We had a couple of limitations. There were only 2 years that we looked at, 14 procedures. So we aren't talking about all care, just care where there's a lot of variation in mortality out there. There's administrative data is how we identify the hospitals and looked at the utilization. And this assumes some level of patient compliance. Patients actually don't do this, and we gain nothing except in another administrative burden, perhaps. But perhaps there would be a new role for the VA, and VA might pick up kind of what I would call an insurance role, where they would help veterans choose who, if the veteran already is not using the VA, let's help them choose the best hospital and get the care in the best hospital they possibly can. There's a possibility most of these veterans that we looked at are concurrently enrolled in Medicare. What if we actually, 2 federal agencies, what a concept, partnering together to pay for these services in a way to get people to go to the best quality care. And maybe even work with veterans to figure out some incentives to get them to use the care, because I think that'll be the biggest challenge if we were to do this. That's it. Any questions?
Yes.
So, yeah, we did it in two ways. We looked at both volume, and these were for procedures where volume had been pretty clearly established several times by John Bergmeier. So it's not for hernias where there's a real question about whether volume matters, but for a number of these esophagectomy, pancreatectomy, volume matters. But we looked at it like that. We also looked at it with the historical mortality as a predictor. And Dr. Bergmeier has shown several times that both of those are predictive of future performance. And the thing, if you actually did this in the VA, you would have to have something anticipating future performance because we're a little slow. And by the time we got a contract implemented, we would want to have some time built in for it to actually work. So we need to have some kind of a two-year advance to get the thing going. So we looked at both the volume and the historical mortality, and like I said, the historical mortality is the better way to go. Yes? These are probably private sector is the wrong term. These are simply Medicare accepting, so it doesn't matter there. Yeah, we did not compute risk-adjusted mortality rates. My sense is that the only one I know where that's actually been done was with CABG, and VA had a 40% higher risk-adjusted mortality rate. Okay, thanks.